Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning to Jenkins Church. If you'd stand and greet your neighbor, welcome here. Okay, do we have any visitors this morning? I know it. Okay, this is what we do best, is visit with each other and love each other, but it's time to worship. do we have any? I don't see any visitors this morning. Look around and see. Is there any visitors? Okay. All right. Do we have any prayer or praise requests? I have a prayer request. A friend of our family's, Tyler Benson, she's 16 years old, and she found out this week that she may possibly have ovarian cancer. So just keep her in your prayers. Tyler Benson.
He'll be leading that service. I also have During the sermon, two readings and handed out to the readers, those who will be reading, and I think I have the right amount, but the sermon will be a little different this morning also. Thank you.
Any more prayer, praise requests? Put me on your prayer list, Tim. I'm having some tests run on Wednesday. They're minor tests, but just pray that everything goes okay. I'm sorry? Kelly and Scott Barnes' baby was born on the 30th?
Early Monday morning.
Okay. Okay, if you remember these people in prayers, and also if you look to the prayer list that's in your bulletin, and keep these people in your prayers throughout the week. Okay, let's pause for a moment for us of silent prayer, preparing our hearts for the worship of God. A prayer that the people may pray. O Jesus, our great high priest, be present with us as you were present with your disciples, and make yourself known to us in the breaking of bread. Amen. And as our candles are lit, we're welcoming the light of Jesus into our world and into our sanctuary. The call to worship is written in your bulletin. If you follow along with me, it is responsive. With what shall we come before the Holy One and bow ourselves before God on high? God has shown us what is good. What does the Holy One require of us but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God? We'll open with our hymn of praise, O Worship the King. It's number 10 in your hymnal.
So I'll stand, please.
Worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of His might, sing of His grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy's face. His chariots of wrath, the deep thunder floods form, and dark is His path on the wings of the storm. My bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust, feeble as frail, in Thee do we trust, nor find Thee to fail. Thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
Join me as we pray. Lord God, we recognize that there are many people who can express themselves before You in such a way that we don't have the words. And we find this songwriter, Mr. Grant. Thank You for him expressing himself before You and reminding us through song that You are our shield, our defender, but You're also our maker, our redeemer, and then You're our friend. And we come this morning to acknowledge You as Lord of life, and You include all of these attributes, and we offer praise unto You. Speak to us, O Lord, and allow us to speak to You, and so move in our lives that we will speak in a manner that will glorify You. And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. While we're standing, may we state our faith or put in words that which we believe.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We come to the time in our service where we confess our sin. Our call to confession. While Ezra was praying and confessing, weeping and throwing himself down before the house of God, a large crowd of Israelites, men, women, and children, gathered around him. They too wept bitterly. If you bow for a prayer of confession, please speak with me. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, by what we have failed to do. We have not loved You with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in Your will and walk in Your ways to the glory of Your name. Amen. The assurance of forgiveness. I will be glad and rejoice in Your love, for You saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not handed me over to the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. The next hymn is number 354 in your hymnals, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Thank you.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Brother Job, if you come up, we're now going to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper.
Eyes open, beg in the city, a man carrying water jug will meet you. Follow his pulse, and then speak with the owner of the house. The teacher wants to know, where is the guest room where I can eat Passover meals with my disciples? He will show you the spacious second-story room, swept and ready. Prepare the meal, say. Amen. In fact, everything just as he told him and prepared the Passover meal. When it was time, he sat down, all the disciples with him, and said, you have no idea how much I look forward to eating the Passover meal with you before I hear my time of suffering. It's the last time I'll eat it until we all eat it together in the kingdom of God. Take the cup. Blessed and said, take this and pass it among you. As for me, I'll not drink wine again until the kingdom of God arrives. Taking bread, he blessed it, broke it, and gave it to him, saying, this is my body, given for you, eat it in memory of me. He did the same with the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant with me in my blood. Blood poured out.
He has died for us. He has gone all the way.
may we go this new heart as followers of Him the way. Through the divine, nourish us. Amen.
Of me, eat this bread in remembrance of me, drink this wine in remembrance of me, pray for the time when the sick, in remembrance of me, feed the poor, in remembrance of me, open the door, and let your brother. And be comforted. Drink and remember too that this is my body and precious blood shed for you. Shed for you. For truth, in remembrance of me, always love, in remembrance of me, don't look above, but in your heart, look for in remembrance of me.
I have our ushers come forward for the offertory, please? The offertory sentence this morning, yours, O Lord, are the greatest, are the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. It's time in the service for our scripture lesson. The scripture today is from Romans 5, verses 6 through 21. It's written in your bulletin, or you can follow along in your Bibles. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were all still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace in the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many. Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteous reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many were made righteous. The law was added so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Word of God for the people of God.
There's no question that that passage of Scripture is long and involved, but that was probably planned that way, not to just be difficult, but because, well, that tells the story of the fall and rise of man. We have selected 9 people to be readers. And at the appropriate time, I'll ask you to come forward, and if number 1 will stand over here, and somebody's already chosen to be number 1, that was you. Okay, Peggy wants to be number 1. And then number 2, down through till we get to 9. Now, you're going to ask to come twice, or ask to come here twice. The number, in the first time you're asked to come, number 7 is Satan. So if you don't want to be Satan, if you have any real qualms about that, you may say, I don't want to be number 7 the first go-round. And then the second go-round, number 8, the 8th reader is Satan. And you're just quoting a statement. So you may want to adjust that. And if no one else will read Satan's part, I guess I can play the devil's advocate. Is that what you say? So I just consider that you're playing the devil's advocate. You're not playing the devil. Okay, you're reading in a little play. So I call your attention, and I'll call the readers forth and ask that you share this little illustration. It's a good illustration that I discovered, and I wanted to share it with you, all of you, this morning. The situation in life, with the world, with people, was as bad as it could get. The human situation was helpless and hopeless, and people living in the human situation were lost and undone, to say the least. Pastor Don Schultz is a Lutheran pastor, and he describes our situation. He says, imagine being at your home and you're having a real big get-together. Your family is there. A number of friends are there. And you're just having a great time. But the UPS or the DHL or the American Express, somebody comes and knocks on the door. Could be the local postman. And he brings you a package, and on the package it says, anthrax, do not open. But you can't stand it. You really can't. You decide to open it anyway. You struggle to open it up, and the tape is so good these days, the package finally bursts open under your strength. Anthrax is everywhere. All of your family, you yourself, all of your friends, they inhale the anthrax dust. And they die. Whose fault was it? The person that sent the anthrax? No, it was written on the outside, do not open, anthrax. When Adam sinned, thousands of years ago, you know that it was, It was as though that he had opened a package, so Schultz says, that he shouldn't have opened. And we know that. Not, we don't have to have Reverend Schultz to tell us this. We know that Adam should not have opened the package. When Adam disobeyed, sin entered his body, entered the world, and sin that entered through Adam affected everything and everybody. And since then, billions and billions of people have been affected by that one moment, that do not eat moment in the Garden of Eden. Schultz calls it spiritual anthrax. Sin entered the world. Lethal sin. Resulting in death. And all because of what this one man, Adam, did. And then our world became one big spiritual ground zero in the eyes of God. And from that moment on, people were born with the problem of sin. Thus, you and I were born with the problem of sin. There's a test that we can perform on ourselves to see if we have been infected by sin. You can do it as you sit here this morning. Just ask yourself, have I made any mistakes during the past week? Have I made any mistakes during the past week? Have I been selfish? Even for a moment. Have I been unkind in my action or have I been unkind in my thinking? Pretty simple test. And probably if we're honest and answer yes to these questions, then we have been infected with sin. Physical death, though, is the least of our problems. Verse 18 of our scripture lesson tells us the result of the one trespass was condemnation for all. So when Adam sinned, he not only brought sin and physical death into the world, he also brought condemnation. We're condemned. And what happens after a person dies? Here we're told condemnation. And condemnation means, in the Bible, hell or eternal punishment for sin. How did things get this way? The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 5, verse 12, sin entered the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all men. And that includes women, too, girls. For all sinned. Verse 16, the second portion of that verse says, the judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. Verse 18 that we've already read, but hear it again, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men. And then verse 19, for just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners. Because of what Adam did way back there, all are guilty. Drive around the country and you see names on churches. You may think of some names that you've seen on churches, and one name that sticks out in my mind is the New Hope Church. And probably every church has, every community, somewhere in that community there is a church that's called New Hope. There's one, I think, on Wilson Pike. The closest one I know about around here. New Hope Church. And then sometimes you will go through a community and you will find a church that the name is Little Hope. I don't know what the Little Hope means. I don't know why they chose that name. But there's a church somewhere named Little Hope. Can't remember exactly where it is. And then we have probably never heard of a church named No Hope. Have you? But that's the situation that mankind found himself in. Our situation, because of what Adam did, is one of no hope. One article that I discovered this week and read, God gave the first man and woman all that they needed for their greatest fulfillment, and warned them not to try to find fulfillment apart from him. But the first woman listened to the persuasive arguments of Satan, and her husband joined her in following Satan's subtle yet bold suggestion to disobey God. The result was sin. Alienation from God. An alienated man, an alienated woman, they were there without hope. They were not only alienated from God, they were alienated from each other and from all of creation. And that's how we stand if we only had Adam. Since that time, since the fall of man, one writer says that every baby has been born with his first forefather's predisposition to disobey God and selfishly satisfy his own desires. But the good news is, Jesus is the only one born into this world without a sin-bent human nature. Will my readers come forward and through this little play show us the fall of man, 1 to 9. And remember, 7 this time is Satan. 1, 2. Who's the brave one? Oh, okay. Yes. Oh, she said you'd be 7? Did you say you'd be 7? Okay, Pam can't. Okay. Yeah, we'll be 9 then. Sam has taken the burden upon herself away from you. Thank you. Thank you. We'll call you back in about 3 minutes. God was not happy that man fell. But to man, it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore. But God was not willing to give up His creation. A few years ago, there was a bumper sticker that was on many cars, "God is not through with me yet." God was not through with His creation yet. He was not about to leave them in the fall or in their fallen state. I also remember a country song that I enjoyed a number of years ago, and sometimes I hear it even today. "I'm just an old lump of coal, but I'm going to be a diamond someday." That was God's plan, I'm convinced, for mankind. Not that we be just old lumps of coal fit for the fire. That's a pretty good illustration, isn't it? But that we become diamonds or stars in His crown. God was not willing to leave His creation in their fallen estate. So He sent Jesus. Or Jesus came. Turn, if you will, to the hymnal number 522. Not to sing, just to read. Number 522. Charles Gabriel is quite a man. He wrote a bunch of songs, and this one kept coming to me this week or last week. "In Loving Kindness," 522. You can follow with me. "In loving kindness Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim. And from the depths of sin and shame, through grace, He lifted me." God was not willing to leave His creation in their fallen state. He sent Jesus. "He called me long before I heard, before my sin full heart was stirred, but when I took Him at His word, forgiven, He lifted me." And the chorus is, "From sinking sand He lifted me, with tender care, or tender hands He lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh praise His name, He lifted me." But look at number 3. "His brow was pierced with many a thorn." You've been to the table this morning, remembering Christ's death. His blood shed for you and for me. "His brow was pierced with many a thorn. His hands by cruel nails were torn. When from my guilt and grief forlorn, in love He lifted me. From sinking sand He lifted me. With tender hand He lifted me. From shades of night to plains of night, oh praise His name, He lifted me." Someone wrote, "From the beginning, God reached out to draw men back to Himself. By divine law, by sacrifice mixed with faith, or supported by faith, or performed in faith, through the prophets, through providence, even through tragedies, God reached out, always in love." And then God's final act, to restore us and to reconcile us to Himself, was to send Jesus, who took upon Himself on the cross the guilt, the punishment for the sins of all the people. And then God raised Him up to new life, demonstrating His triumph over sin and death. Yes, He, Jesus, came to pay the penalty for our sin. Not His sin, remind you. He had none. But He died for us. He died for fallen people. People with no hope. He died for you. He died for me. The Word says, God's Word, Romans chapter 5, verse 6, at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And then verse 8 of chapter 5, God demonstrates His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 15, it's printed before you also. The gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, Adam, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Then verse 16, again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. Then moving on to verse 17, for if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through the one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Then back to verse 18, consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all people or all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life to all men. Verse 19, for just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. Verse 21 says, just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So though man was in a fallen state, lost and undone, separated from God, alienated from God, without hope, Jesus came. God sent Him. Let the readers come and share that with us also. Will you come back, same order? Thank you. In loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, through grace He lifted me. Has He lifted you? He wants to. How do you let Him do it? Admit that you need someone to help you. Believe that Jesus is the one, the only one that can help. And commit yourself to following Jesus. He didn't die for Himself. He had no sin to die for. He didn't die for the angels. They didn't need salvation. He died for man. He didn't even die for the self-righteous. They had no need of Him. He died for the ungodly. He died for me and for you. Amen. Readers, you may disperse. Let's sing together 188 at the cross in verse 1 and 3.
Maybe you would make a public profession of your trust, belief in, and trust in Jesus. Your decision to claim what He did on Calvary for you. Lift you from an existence of sin to salvation. 188, verse 1 and 3.
May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Thanks to the readers. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.